from stpetecatalyst.com.
Hello, once again. I'm Bill DeYoung. This is Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. And I'm happy today to be here with Bonnie Egan and Jim Sorensen, two good friends. We're here to talk about Radio Theater Project, which happens monthly at the studio at 620. Artistic Coordinator Bonnie Egan, how long has Radio Theater Project been in existence?
Since 2005.
Would you explain?
I don't think that's right.
Well, yeah. we know that radio theater obviously predates television, you know, the classic theater of the mind sort of thing. That's not exactly what this is it? What they call theater of the mind.
No.
Why don't you explain for those who are listening exactly what Radio Theater Project is?
Well, it's plays that are written explicitly for radio. So there's a lot of sound effects, and obviously there's no visual. They're just plays. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It's plays that that people can imagine the visuals. Well, a lot of people, when they come to it, they say they like to close their eyes so they can just listen to the...
Well, they're written, as you say, written specifically for radio, for the audio experience. So it's not exactly like, oh, let's do Anna and the King of Siam and just read it. It's not exactly the same thing. Mr. Sorensen is laughing over here. Did you want to kind of elaborate on the whole idea?
Sure. I mean, I'd love to see Anna and the King of Siam done Radio Theater Project style.
Well, hear it. You'd have to close your eyes, obviously.
all the dance numbers and the scenery.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. You know, it's basically written in a specific way to prod your imagination, to see the things in your mind.
Right. Well, they say radio is theater of the mind.
They do say that.
Yes, that's it.
And there are. Am I not right? There are radio programs called Theater of the Mind, which, you know, maybe do the old, you know, the Shadow Knows and Matt Dillon and all that stuff, you know. But this is kind of a contemporary take on that. What kind of plays are we talking about, you guys?
Well, it depends. I have to say, since COVID, I've tried to keep them as upbeat as possible. Mm-hmm. I think everybody's programming that way, whether mm-hmm. it's theater or whatever. But so generally, they're short. Mm-hmm. Our entire program is usually no more than an hour and a half. So
Monday nights at 7 o'clock.
Fourth Monday of every month.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. What if there are only three Mondays in the month? What do? Do you punt?
That doesn't happen.
I don't know.
The math doesn't quite work on that.
But. Oh, okay. Well,
maybe it does in your world, but, you know.
So they're short. We're talking, what, 15 minutes?
Generally. Sometimes some will go maybe 45 minutes, and we'll have an intermission and tack on two 10- or 15-minute shows.
Jim, how long have you been involved with Radio Theater Project? You've been an actor around here for a number of years.
Yeah, I got to say, I 2017, 18, something like that. It's been 6 or 7 years now since I started doing this. I mean, mm-hmm. we had all kinds of great folk when I first started, you know, Bob Heitman and, Ron
Satloff.
Yeah, Ron Satloff, my God. Mm-hmm. Just all kinds of amazing folk. You know, of course, Richard Rice was with us. So I feel like when I came in, it was just a really, really lovely group of people who... We're telling stories, and I think that's the best part about this whole thing is to Bonnie's point about, you know, you can close your eyes and just listen to this story. I really love, Bonnie, the one we did last month with, oh my gosh, the British couple.
Oh, the Nowers, Mike and Sarah Nowers.
Yes.
Yes,
the Nowers. And just, I was able, because I only had a very small part in that, I just sat there, and I did. I closed my eyes the entire time, and just listening to someone tell me a story, I felt like I was tucked in bed and just being able to take this visual journey in my own mind with nothing, you know, nothing happening on stage.
But, I mean, can you say the majority of them are comedy? The majority of them are funny. I've seen a number of them, obviously, and in other words, it's not like Kafka on, you know, audio.
Right.
We've done some really serious ones in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We did one about two runaway slaves that was just so intense and amazing. But we, like I said, since COVID, we just don't do anything too serious.
Well, yeah.
And we've also done a few. I recall one of my early ones was a real thriller. Was not funny in any way, shape, or form, but it was a very with Kathy Grau as this haunted, the scene of a car accident where the spirit comes back. And that's what I love about radio theater is, especially with Matt Cowley's addition of sound effects and all this additional stuff, you can really get that sense of storytelling, just like a musical allows you to go. The music adds to the tone and whatever. This is kind of the musical of audio books in terms of, Matt Cowley's additional sound effects really create a tone and a mood that you couldn't create otherwise with just the voice.
Matt is what we call a Foley artist. Is that correct?
That's right.
I thought that was a movie thing, but that's someone who creates the sound, the atmosphere.
He was doing something called Soundstage at WMNF when we started, and they were produced in the studio, so then this kind of was an offshoot of that. And so he'd been doing Foley for quite a while.
You mentioned Mr. Rice. It was the Rices who started this. Can we turn the clock back a little bit and say, how did this get started back in whatever year it was you said that got started? I've forgotten already, but it was quite a while ago.
It was.
How did it all happen?
Well, Mimi, of course, went to Bob. And she, it says in this wonderful article by Margot Hammond, she said she was in her 70s and wasn't getting any roles. And she thought, well, maybe
Mimi Rice we're talking about.
Yes.
She goes to Bob Devon Jones.
And of course, Bob always says yes.
Right.
And he said, go ahead and do it. So she and Rich and Ron Satloff and Bob Heitman, I mean, all these pros got together and started doing it. And then we put out a call for scripts. Jim Wicker is our dramaturg, and so on the website there's a call for scripts, and we started getting some scripts, and now we're getting a lot.
Has it ever taken a break? I mean, do you take breaks during the summer?
Yes, sort of we go October through May.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And I wanted to point out too, when you're talking about some of the great people who have worked in Radio Theater Project, that it's not the same people every time. That some folks stay for a while and they drop out, and maybe they come back later. It's, in other words, it's not the same sort of repertory company every show.
Well, I consider what we have is a great ensemble of actors in the area. Yeah. And a lot of times, most of the times, I pick shows knowing who's going to be in town. And that's how I cast them.
Well, I'm thinking of someone like Lisa Tracomi, who's moved away now. And when I started working with you guys and doing those shows, Lisa was in pretty much every one of them. And then, what did she move to, Arkansas or something?
Arkansas.
And I will say this now, as I said to Lisa at the time, who moves to Arkansas? You know? Yeah, so people come and go. And I've done a few of them. Jim isn't there every time either. I'm not there every time either. And that's kind of how it works. So it's not like the not ready for primetime players come see the same people every time. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of the charm of it. Like, as you say, the Nowers, who are good friends of mine, were there last time. They're back in England now for 6 more months or whatever it is. You know, their visa's expired and they got thrown out of the country. So it's not always the same. Jim, talk to me, if you will, about the Nick Files. This is something that is a repeat, a thing that you've done many times. And you have this great sort of Sam Spade detective voice that you do. I'm not going to ask you to do it.
Thanks, because I have no idea where it comes from. It's all in the script. Completely start talking as if the script were right in front of you.
Did I tell you?
Yeah. You know what? When I first came, so the Nick Files are written by Murphy, I believe the gentleman's name is.
Is it Dan Fiorelli?
Dan Fiorelli. Yeah.
Dan
Fiorelli.
Right.
He's written a bunch of what I love is he's written a bunch of mysteries based on the holidays, various and assorted holidays, and it's an old style private dick who goes out and solves a crime. You know, dealing with actual leprechauns or the actual tooth fairy or actual Cupid, and so it's a great silliness in there. But also, when I first got here, Paul Wilborn was writing, I don't recall Paul's area of I don't call Paul's guy, but he was writing a similar kind of a vein. I think that lends itself incredibly well to radio theater because it's that old school melodramatic, kind of over the top characters and acting, and where you get to do funny voices.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things to do. Yeah, what are you talking about there, Nick? That kind of thing. And you know, it reminded me of Nick Danger, Third Eye, the old Fireside Theater.
Yeah.
Hey, Bonnie, I'm taking your picture. Can you look up for a second? Yes. we're going to cut this part out, by the way. Good. We're done. All right. Pause. So yeah, those are fun to do, aren't they? I think I was in was it the Christmas one with the, like, you know, the stuffed animals were holding the store owner hostage or something?
And yes.
Yeah. And that was fun. Everybody gets to do, like, cute little
Trouble at the Toy Mart.
Trouble at the Toy Mart.
Well, I really love, actually, and I kind of want to zip back to, this may be a question, a future question that you have, Bill, but I want to zip back to Matt Cowley and the Foley.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that just a little bit.
Yeah.
One of the most exciting things is to watch how this artist creates these sound effects that, mm-hmm. you know, sound like a door slam, sound like crunching on gravel, things like, you know, shoes running on gravel. And the way he does them live in person, you could swear that that's, oh, there's somebody running away from me right now. But when you look over and you see Matt with a pair of shoes and some cornflakes in a bin and crunching them, or, you know, some of the silly other things he does, he has this tiny little leather bag that he punches and it completely sounds like a body is being hit. So
I try not to look at Matt.
Oh,
because
well, no.
I would just like laugh.
A lot of people come just to watch Matt.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, I think Sheila does too. Yeah. Hi, Sheila.
And a lot of people come to watch Carol Downing, our sign language interpreter. Yes. Mm-hmm. She is mesmerizing and magical in the space. I find myself absolutely drawn and staring at her the whole time, because she doesn't just sign the show, she interprets the story.
I've watched Carol, and I often wonder, how do you know some of the weird things that we're all saying, how does she sign that?
Yes.
You know, and she's doing all kinds of these gestures. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about also was the fact that I think it's very charming that there are a lot of regulars. People come to see this.
Yeah.
And the whole atmosphere, as you were talking about Carol and watching Matt, Paul Wilburn playing the piano and singing. And he had us all singing recently, it's great fun. And I think it's one of those, let's go down Monday night, the fourth Monday of each month, to see this. For a lot of people, this is something they do regularly, and we do see a lot of the same faces there.
And it's a great bargain. I mean, where else can you go for $10 or $15 and be entertained completely?
Well, you know, I'd pay $10 or $15 just to see Paul Wilburn play the piano.
There you go.
So I could heckle him from the front row. One of my favorite things to do. Bonnie, it looks like you have something ready to say. You were leafing through that article.
No, I was trying to find the name of Paul Wilburn, his detective series that he used to write. He and Matt wrote it together.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking for the name of that.
Nick Flibber. That's what I do.
Yeah, it's you. You're
sorry,
Nick
that's
Flibber.
Me. I'm Nick Flibber.
No, Paul is a great writer. You know, because he had a journalism background, it doesn't surprise me at all.
Here it is. The Adventures of Noel Berlin, Cabaret Detective.
Yes, Noel Berlin, Cabaret Detective.
Eugenie was his foil, and they had this sort of on-again, off-again romance, and she was a cabaret singer, and it was always very contemporary about St. Pete politics.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So, it was very funny.
So he did that for a while, and then kind of...
They did it for several
years. Got busy
years.
As an award-winning novelist and didn't have time anymore.
They just got tired of doing it. You know how.
It happens. Yeah.
End of the trail.
Let's talk about this coming Monday, which is... I don't have any idea what day that is. Do you know?
It's the 27th.
It's the 27th of March.
Yes, 7 days.
And Radio Theater Project marches on, I think, is what you wrote on the Studio 620 website.
I think Corlett wrote that.
Well, Corlett is brilliant too.
I want to give her credit.
What do we have to look forward to on Monday?
We have a noir. See, I mean, speaking of detective and stuff like that,
I love saying noir.
I do too. That's why I said it. And it's written by Mike Murphy, another regular.
Yes.
He,
mm-hmm.
he does great stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a very interesting story. And I said it's very noirish. And then we have a couple of short ones, then after that. That one's about a half hour. A
couple of happy-go-lucky
Yeah.
comedies. And I'm fortunate enough to be in this cast on Monday, on the 27th. So I'm looking forward to that. And you're in this one as well, Jim?
Obviously. I'm in. Yeah, there are three pieces that night, and I'm in two of them. And the best thing about these stories for me is that we rehearse on Sunday. We rehearse for. Really, this is kind of amazing what happens sometimes is we read through them once. Mm-hmm. We stand up at microphones. We go through and work through the entire show with the sound effects. And then we perform them the next night. So it's because of all the amazing professionals we have and the people who really just come to this project with so much ability that we can just knock it straight through and have a great time while we're doing it.
It's tremendous fun.
Yeah.
And I will say that the very early Sunday morning rehearsals are a little rough.
But, 10 a.m. Yeah. 10 a.m., Bill. 10 a.m. Yeah.
I know.
And it always amazes me how you go from that to Monday night and it's a whole different show.
Right.
I mean, it's sort of like it blossoms.
It's tremendous fun. And I do think the audience is part of that, feels that, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And as I say, I can't look at Matt, and I generally just look in the front row, which is usually Mike and Sarah when they're in town. And Mike now, as I say, we're friends, and he'll just make faces at me and stuff. Tell me about Lost Shakespeare, the Nutty Merchant of Venice. I've actually looked this up. This is one of the Monday pieces. It has something to do with Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. Does anybody know here? Do we remember?
That, again, is Dan Fiorelli.
Okay.
And he wrote a series of he calls them Lost Shakespeare. And the introduction is kind of this masterpiece theater thing, which, of course, Jim Wicker will be doing.
Oh, yeah.
And
Jim is so good.
And it explains how these were lost, and these were different versions of – this time we're doing Merchant of Venice, the nutty version of Venice.
Yes, I think I'm playing the Dean Martin character.
You are?
I have to work on my voice.
And Jim is Jerry Lewis.
Wow. Okay.
Hey there, buddy. Hey.
I haven't read that script yet.
That's what we want.
I haven't read it either yet. But by Sunday morning at 10 a.m., I will have.
And by Monday at 7, you'll have it nailed.
It'll be perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
Let's get the info out there. It is the studio at 620, that's 620.org.
Is where studio 620.org, yes.
Yeah, the studio. I'm actually looking at it. So the studio at 620.org. And under events, you will see Radio Theater Project for Monday, March 27th. It's at 7 o'clock. General admission is $15. I think there are discounts if you're a member of Studio 620. If you're handsome, if you're pretty, you might get a discount. They sell wine and beer and coffee and soft drinks, and you can get water, and there's delightful cookies, which I'm happy to say I get free. That's really why I do this.
That's the paycheck.
And it is this coming Monday night. So Bonnie Egg and Jim Sorensen, absolute pleasure to have you both in here today.
Thank you.
So we'll see you all Monday night at the studio at 620.
Indeed.
See you guys
there.
You
from stpcatalyst.com.